This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Ek weet nie hoeveel van julle was Woensdag daar by Andries Vermeulen. 1, 2, 3, 4. Ja, dit was... Ek is, mens is altyd so bietjie bang as 'n Christen grappe wil vertel, maar ons weet nou, Andries vertel nou baie goeie grappe, want ons het hom seker op televisie gesien en so, maar weet jy, toe hy begin, dan, ek ken hom nie so goed nie, ek het hom nou daar gesien en ons het baie lekker gelag. ek was baie jare terug, 30 jaar terug, toe ek hiernatoe gekom het, was ek maar nog 'n jong Christen gewees, en ek het so klein groepie aangesluit in 'n huis, en dit was die begin van hierdie kerk, en toe was ons maar net so 5 mense of so, en toe het ons 'n braai by my huis gehou, en toe is die ou wat nou die kerk begin het, sy naam was Steve Quirk. Nou, hy het my ook gevra om 'n pancake machine te bou, en ek het dit probeer, maar dit het nie gewerk nie, en al die goed, maar ek sal nie daar gaan nie. En hy vertel, toe hy sê nou, hy wil 'n grap vertel. En, denk ek nou, hy is nou ook Christians, weet, wat nou 'n grap wil vertel. Ek is maar nog 'n jong Christen, en hy begin nou, hy sê, nee, daar is die ou, wat nou, vir hom, vir sy vrou, 'n kasteel wil bou, en hy het nou 'n miljoen stene, dat is nou, en die ding moet so beplan word, dat elke steen word gebruik, dan moet nie nou soos gewoonlik, daar is die hele hoop, daar is meer skrepstene wat weggery word, as elke steen moet gebruik word, en voor die dak opgaan, en gaan hy kyk, of elke steen gebruik is, en toe hy nou gaan om te kyk, toe kom hy daar in die een vertrek, en daar lê een steen daar in die middel, in die kamer, en hy, maar die gebou is nou klaar, nou is daar, hierdie steen is nie gebruik nie, toe vat hy daar steen, en hy gooi hom in sy woede, gooi hom so in die lug op, en die steen raak net weg. Nou staan ons daar, en toe sê die ou, "It's funny, hè?" Staan ons daar, dink, nou, lach jy maar so bietjie, want jy wil mos nou nie, maar dis nou Christian jokes, hey. Ek onthou daai, toe Andries nou begin af, Woensdag, anyway, wat dink jy, vat dit bietjie lank, voor ons daai, miskien vat dit, sal julle dit verstaan later, ek het gesukkel om dit te verstaan, maar nou, weet, vanoggend is ek hier, so ek wil eintlik vir Daryl vanoggend nog gebel het en gevra het of hy nie kan instaan nie, en ek weet, ek het hom gebel, maar hy antwoord nie, ek weet, hy sou het gedoen het, die preek sou seker baie kort gewees het, maar ek het nie so lekker gevoel nie, gister en so aan, en nee, maar nou is ek hier so, en ek is eintlik nie Roan, want in die het gestaan dat Roan sal preek, maar Roan het my gebel en gesê, kan ek preek asseblief, hy moet na 'n troue toe gaan ergens. So nou is ek weer hierso, in die Afrikaanse diens, 'n Duitser in die Afrikaanse diens, in 'n Engelse kerk, maar ek kan nie Afrikaans preek nie. Afrikaans is so mooi taal, as ons dit sing, die song is altyd so baie mooi, maar ek kan nie Afrikaans preek nie, ek is jammer. En anders sal ek net die mekaar raak, ek sal klaar die mekaar. Maar ek is dan in die klein Duitsland hierso, hulle sê ons hierso is hierdie klein Duitsland hierbo, Kramersdorp, daar skyn ons altyd die son, nee, is net vandag wat hy nie skyn nie, die son daar, die mis oop daar by die Puma service station, hou hy oop en is altyd son hierso. Dis wat ek hoor, wat die mense vir my vertel, want ek bly nou daar onder waar die mis altyd is. Anyway, okay, ek is jammer, I will preach in English. Okay. And I've got a very, you know, we've been preaching about the harvest, and my topic is very original, and it's called harvest. There, see there, it's harvest. And I'm, you know, and I feel it's very, very simple. I've only got three questions that I want to look at, and they all start why. And I, you know, when you think about the New Testament and about harvest, I think the first scripture that will come to mind is when Jesus says to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And but let us read that portion, and I just read a little bit from verse 35 to 38. It says there, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Now, this passage is a hinge. You know, when you see in Jesus' ministry, up to that point, Jesus did all the ministry. He proclaimed the good news. He healed the sick. He raised people to life. He let the blind see. You know, even mother-in-laws were healed, and all kinds of things were done. But here is a hinge where, you know, when you go to chapter 10, the start of chapter 10, suddenly he gets his disciples together and says, okay, now I send you out. You know, up to then, he did everything, and his disciples were just around assisting, giving him food, and so on. And, you know, that's, you know, when Jesus did all of these things, the crowds came, and it's no wonder they said, you know, nothing like this has ever happened in Israel. And he looked at the crowd, you know, and he has these words, you know, that his compassion on them. And then he says these words, and there's a switch here from Jesus doing everything to actually his disciples starting to go out, you know. And now I find it also it's decision time. You know, when one reads this, it's like I was just thinking then, okay, is this for us now? When the Holy Spirit came, he said, wait, the Holy Spirit will come, like Yaku said last week, and then go out. But here it was for the disciples, you know, to a point where they couldn't, you know, just sit behind anymore. Suddenly he said to them, you know, the harvest is plentiful. And I want to just go and look at this verse, this one, the one that we so often speak about and I forget the English word now. repeat. You know, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Now, my first question is, why does Jesus say the harvest is plentiful? Now, I mean, clear to you why he's saying that, because there's a large crowd in front of him, or, you know, but he knows, you know, I mean, is the evidence there that the harvest is plentiful? Is it just because the crowd is there? You know, I think that crowd was probably the same as all the other crowds. Maybe there were more sick and lame people because they knew they might be healed. But Jesus knew that the Pharisees are trying to get hold of him. They're trying to, lock him up and kill him. He knew that soon the same crowd that is there will shout, "Crucify him." You know, many of that same crowd will say, "Crucify him." And he knows that one of the disciples that is with him will deny him and will actually betray him. The other one will deny him. And the others will go into hiding and afraid. Now, is the harvest plentiful? I mean, even many times the disciples said to Jesus, you know, send them away. There are too many people here. Send them away. You need to eat. You need to rest. Send them away. You know, and here the disciples are given this question, do you believe that the harvest is plentiful? You know, I mean, is it in our own world today? Do we believe that the harvest is plentiful? Is the evidence there that the harvest is plentiful? You know, I mean, if one looks at it, I've just been, you know, I was just thinking about this, thinking, what did the disciples think when Jesus says to them, the harvest is plentiful? I think, well, all these people are just coming to get healed and so on, yes. But suddenly when they had to go into hiding, did they think the harvest was plentiful? You know, in our world today, you know, there are millions have turned to Islam. Evil is increasing at a rapid rate. When you look at television and you see the demonstrating and the, you know, people just, it just seems like, you also feel like, just send them away, you know. And look, I'm saying this because I think many of us may, including myself, we may look at this at times and say, you know, it's not easy. It is not easy to bring the gospel message. Because the fact is, many of us, and many of Christians, have not led people to Christ. You know, it's just a fact. I'm not saying this because, to let anybody feel bad. I'm talking to myself, you know. And I said, is the harvest, do I believe when the Lord Jesus says the harvest is plentiful and that it's ready? Do I actually believe that? You know, if I believe that, then it requires a response from me. You know, if I believe the harvest is plentiful, then it requires a response from me. And that's why I think this is also a hinge for us, you know, as we talk about this harvest, you know. So, do we believe that the harvest is plentiful? You know, that is the first thing that I want to put to ourselves. And you know, there's actually another passage that where Jesus says something very similar. And we all, you know, we know that passage when Jesus is at the well and his disciples have gone into Samaria to get some food. And he's sitting there and this woman comes out, the Samaritan woman comes out to get water, but he starts a conversation with her. And I'm not going to talk about the conversation here, but, you know, as he is, it's just amazing that he's talking to the Samaritan woman. She's amazed. And then when he tells her all what's happened in her life, she goes back into Samaria. But just as he finishes the conversation, the disciples come back. And, I mean, they're surprised. Why does he talk to the woman? And it's a Samaritan woman, you know. Because the Samaritans and the Jews didn't like each other. There's a long history of that. And I read up a little bit about that, but I'm going to talk about this. But it's like people compare it to the Serbs and the Muslims in Bosnia or the Catholics and the Protestants in Northern Ireland. You know, they just don't want to talk to each other. And here Jesus was talking to this woman, and here the disciples come back. Now they don't ask him, why did you talk to the woman? No, they kind of, I think they don't want to ask this question. And then they say, no, but you must eat, you know. No, you must eat. And he says, no, I don't want to eat, you know. I've got food that you don't know about. And then he comes to this verse, John 4, verse 35. He says similar words that we read earlier. He says, don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Now he's telling his disciples once again, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Now, you know, the lady went back, and she brought a lot of people with her, because she tells the people in town. And yet, you know, I can kind of picture, it's not described that way, but I can picture Jesus says, look up, look at the fields. And here this lady comes back, and there are all these Samaritans coming back. The fields, I think, no, Jesus, these are Samaritans. This is not the harvest, you know. And I thought, when Jesus says to his disciples there, the fields are ripe for harvest, in this situation, he's saying, you know, the fields are ripe in the unlikely places. And we, you know, if we believe that the harvest is plentiful, the harvest is there where we most unlikely think it is. You know, in our place of work, where our colleague that is irritating us, or whatever, the harvest is ripe. Jesus is saying to his disciples, you know, and they went actually for 2 days into Samaria, and a lot of some, you know, Samarians, or how does one say, you know, believed. And, you know, where we see problems, you know, when we, as we are at the moment, you know, even yesterday, some of you went out to hand out the pamphlets of Stephen Lungu coming. You know, is it easy? How do you feel? You know, if you don't do it, don't do it every day, you know. It feels, at least I feel like it, it doesn't feel that comfortable, you know. And especially if you have to go to people, you know, that you know, and they, what is they, kind of, here, maybe in Kramersdorp, you know, and me, it's German, you know. you know, it in the unlikely places where we see problems, the harvest, the Lord says, the harvest is ripe, the harvest, do we believe that, is ready, all around us, the harvest, the Lord is saying, all around us, the harvest is plentiful. Now, I'm asking against the question here, do we believe that? The Lord is saying that the harvest is plentiful. And if we believe that, then there needs to be a response from us. You know, we can't just sit and say, oh, harvest is plentiful, yeah, it's great. You know, if the farmer says, ah, the harvest is nice, ready, eh? You sit in your house, the harvest will rot, you know. And just thinking about, that's my first question. Do we believe that the harvest is plentiful? It's around us there where we see, you know, don't see the harvest. Like the disciples probably seeing the Samaritans. That's not our harvest. No, the harvest is plentiful. Let me go to the second why. Why does he say the workers are few? You know, there's, like I said, you know, very few do lead people to Christ. It's just statistically, it's the way it is. I'm not saying it to let you feel bad, you know. There are a lot of people sitting on the sideline. They talk about, you know, about evangelism. We've got a lot of people that in church talk about evangelism. We've got a lot of people that pray about evangelism, that leave churches because this is not being done right, we go to another church. But how many workers are actually out in the field? If we believe the harvest is plentiful, then it is actually, if we see how many churches there are and how many, you see sometimes on television crowds, you think, but how many are actually in the harvest? How many are in the harvest? And I was thinking, why is it like that? Why are we, I say we now, why am I, you put it more personal, not out more there in the harvest? Yeah, I'm at work and, I'm going to say, I witness here and there. But, I know in my heart that I'm not the harvest, the worker that is really in the harvest. And that's why this is challenging me. And I was thinking a harvest tool. What's the harvest tool? Harvest tool in the Old Testament, and it's probably still in many parts of the world today, is this, the sickle. And for it to be an effective harvest tool, it goes into that fire. I looked then at a YouTube video. How do they make this sickle, So it's easy these days. You just go and I looked, and this guy started with this. It almost looked like a car spring, And then he, into the fire, and he hits, and again into the fire, and he hits. And then, at the end, he puts it on this belt grinder there, and then with a file, and then he demonstrates it out there, and he goes, and it just cuts this, this harvest. And why should it be different for the workers that go into the Lord's harvest field? That is it because the Lord knows that very few will, will be prepared to go into the fire, come out, be hit with a hammer, go into the fire, be hit with a hammer so that we can become an effective harvest tool. Why should it be different for us? It's in the same way, and I want to show you just a picture here. Yeah, look at this next picture that I have. See this guy there? This is one of my sons. Now he didn't just one day say, I think I'm gonna start cycling, and then he goes and he jumps over, like he likes this downhill cycling. It's like scary for parents because we get phoned. Your son is in hospital, he's got a cracked skull, And we are in Sokopmund, he's in Windhoek somewhere. And the guy, I know the guy that came to the, he found him there lying there. And he stopped and he was lying there and he was still conscious. And he asked him, where must I take you? Must I take you to the hospital or to Andy's? Andy's? This is some place in Windhoek, And my son said, Andy's. And he doesn't remember it. But, I just want to take that example. If you go to the next picture, I got this. I accompanied my son once in Spain. You can't probably read this that clear. It says there, we always admire the 5% of success in people's, what they achieve, especially in sport, but forget the 95% of hard work that goes into this to get this success. And so if you go to the next one, it's dirty. He had to get dirty at times, and he did this. This is when he was taking part in the Cape Epic. We accompanied him. But you have to get dirty. If you go to the next slide, there he is. You're not going to be happy sometimes. You see, he's not very happy there. And doesn't look very happy. I took that photo. And You have to go to the next, you go through deep waters. You know, if you want to do this type of thing, and I'm not saying you have to do this type of thing, but if you want to be a harvester in the Lord's works, it's similar. You know, you have to go through deep waters sometimes. We go to the next, and just click it twice. I don't know why I have to do it twice. And it's going to be very dirty. Your tools are going to be very dirty. But, you know, if you see the next one, you know, it's at the end of the race. Everything is forgotten. You know, it's just like, and it's the same in the word, Paul says, you know, every athlete goes into strong training, strict training, you know, to achieve the goal. So many may be sitting at the sideline, and the Lord probably knew that many won't be prepared to get their hands dirty or be the sickle that just gets hammered into the fire, out of the fire, into the fire, out of the fire. You know, harvesting is the busiest time. You know, one thinks, the harvest is there. Now we can relax. No, that's when the work starts. That's actually when the work starts, the real work. Now, you know, I feel like my wife has told me sometimes after service, you know, you always let us feel so bad as if we, you know, we're always not achieving anything. And so, but that's not, you know, let me just quickly lighten up your mood. Steve Quirk's second joke. And I'll listen to this one. Maybe you haven't yet clicked the first one. Maybe you clicked this one, you know. It was that evening. It was just, I thought he said, after about an hour of eating, and he said, I've got another joke. I thought, Jesus. And he says, there's this guy, you know, he climbs into the plane. It was the time when you can still do this. He comes into the plane, he's got this little baboon, you know. So he sits in the seat in the front there with a baboon, you know, little monkey. And as they fly, then he suddenly gets out a cigar, you know, and he starts smoking a cigar. And the people start all complaining, you can't have this monkey goes mad. So the steward comes and he grabs the monkey and the cigar and he opens the door and throws them out, you know, closes the door and fly. And as they land, you know, this guy was very sad about his monkey. You know, he gets out of the plane and as he looks back, he sees there on the tail, there's his monkey sitting, you know, of the airplane. And he sees this monkey, it's got something in his mouth there. And he thinks, gee, what has he got in his mouth? You know what he had in his mouth? A brick. Anyway, it takes sometimes time, you know, for Christian jokes to... Anyway, that was his joke. Anyway, my third question. You know, my third question is, why does the Lord Jesus say, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field? He just said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. You would almost expect the Lord to say, so therefore, go into the harvest field. No, he doesn't say that. He actually says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers. It's not that Jesus is against action, because in the very next chapter, he actually he sends out his disciples into action. But I think the Lord knows that before we go into this ministry, into this field, we need to have the same prayerful reliance on the Father as he had. You know, before he chose his disciples, he spent the whole night in prayer. Now, he just didn't go into action. He actually spent the night in prayer. You know, if we want to have the same compassion that Jesus had, then let us spend time with the Father. Let us spend time in prayer. Then we will see as he sees, Then we will see the harvest. Then we will feel the compassion that he felt. So that, and I think that is why Jesus says, then pray, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Now, there are many, like I said, there are many potential harvesters sitting in churches. There are many potential harvesters watching rugby, sitting in front of a television watching rugby, you know. But many people distracted, comfortable. But how many harvesters are out there in the harvest field? And he says, pray to the, therefore, to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field. But, you know, I thought, you know, many times we pray, actually, Lord, bring in the harvest. While he says, pray to the Lord of the harvest that the workers will go out into the harvest field. It's almost, the harvest is out there. There's nothing wrong with praying for people to, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that it's, you know, the focus of the Lord is saying to send them out into the harvest. You know, when harvesting gets done there is no time for sitting in the barn or in the shed. You know, if you have a farm, if you would have a farm and the harvest is ripe and you've got your workers and they're all sitting in the shed talking about the harvest and how it should be done and when it should be done, you know, you probably will fire those guys and get harvesters that go out in to the harvest. And it's like cricket, you know, you're out and the next guy comes in and then it's out and in. But it's like the Lord says, go out in to the harvest. You know, God wants people out there, out in the harvest. That's why he's saying, you know, pray. Their workers are few because few are prepared to go out. He knows that. But he has given us his Holy Spirit. Jaco said last week, you know, that, you know, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to be equipped to go out there into the harvest. You know, and when the Lord says to his disciples there at that particular time, ask the Lord of a harvest, it's through prayer. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. You know, ask the Lord of the harvest. It's not a prayer suggestion, it's a prayer command. And I think as we pray, we need to listen carefully. You know, because I think most of the time, he's calling us. But we need to spend time with him in prayer. And do we believe the harvest is ready? Are we prepared to be one of those that may get dirty and go out into the harvest? You know, and I thought then, you know, when one analyzes sometimes to send out workers into his harvest field, it's not somebody else's harvest field. It is his harvest field. He says he lets the harvest grow. We may plant the seed, he lets it grow. And he says the harvest is ready. Now we may say, oh, the harvest's not ready. No, he says the harvest is ready. The harvest is ready. And that's why it is, like I said at the beginning, it's like a hinge. It requires a response. You know, he lets the crop grow. He prepares the hearts of the people. And therefore, he knows it's his harvest. He knows that the harvest is ready. You know, very often humanism, you know, comes in and it's the people, you know, the needs of the people. And, you know, things are done as if it's only, you know, the people have got this emotional, you know, their rights and so on. And it sometimes gets to a stage where we go out there to just look after the needs of the people, not to bring in the harvest. You know, and why do we want people to come to Christ? Because it's, he says the harvest is ready. And it's not just for the needs. It's great to service the needs, but we must remember always that it is his harvest, and he wants that harvest to come in. You know, so not sitting on the sideline, you know, and not bearing any fruit. And we know what the Lord said, the branches that don't bear any fruit. You know, I'm talking, like I said at the beginning, I'm talking to myself this morning here, and it challenges me. It's, you know, it was strange. This morning I get up early, and then my wife is still sleeping, and my son is in the other room, so I have to kind of lock myself up in one room, and there I was praying and walking around, and there's some book standing there, and I looked at, it's a book. It's Andrew Murray, you know, and I looked in the back. Ooh, this belonged to a bibliotheekdienst. I thought, oh, shit. And I thought, oh, this is a book. But then I looked, who took out this book? And I said, oh, it's Graham Holmes. You know, and I thought, oh, this is 1994. I don't know why it is with us. I don't know why it is. You know, there's still a card. But 16th of February, my wife's birthday, was taken out. Anyway, I wanted to, you know, just read. I just looked at this, and I came upon this little passage. I just want to read a little bit from it. It says here, on the other hand, I don't know what the one hand is, but on the other hand, Darren, there are many who work for God, but know little of what it is to wait on him, to pray, ask the Lord of the harvest. They've been led to take up Christian work under the impulse of natural or religious feeling at the bidding of a pastor or a society, but very little sense of what a holy thing it is to work for God. Let us pray that as we proceed in these meditations on working for God, the Holy Spirit may show us how sacred and how urgent our calling is to work, how absolute our dependence is upon God's strength to work in us, how sure it is that those who wait on him shall renew their strength, and how we shall find waiting on God and working for God to be indeed inseparable. You know, I just thought it fitted so nicely into that. Ask the Lord of the harvest, spend time with him, so that when you go out into the harvest, that you can be an effective harvest tool. So I just want to close off by saying, do we believe, just to recall the three questions, do we believe that the harvest is plentiful? And if we do, there's a response required. Are we prepared to get dirty or to be hammered, to be back in the fire and be hammered again? Are we prepared to get our hands dirty and maybe even be ridiculed? Are we prepared to pray and listen and to go out into the harvest? We cannot work, you know, walk away and just say, okay, yeah, that's it. And as we are in this time of which we call, you know, we hear the harvest, and, you know, we need to just, again, get a focus of the harvest out there and where it is in our workplace, in the communities where we think, this is not where I mingle normally. You know, all of these places. So in our family, where people don't want to listen to the story. You know, and so I want this morning, you know, first of all, if there's anybody in here this morning, yes, I want us to pray individually and just reflect on these three questions. Do we believe the harvest is plentiful? Are we prepared? Why are there so few workers? Are we prepared to be one of those workers? And are we prepared to pray and listen and to go out into the harvest? But if there's anybody here this morning that does not know the Lord of the harvest, you know, it is more important that person today comes to the Lord of the harvest. You know, and I want us to just pray for a few moments individually, and I will close off, but if there's anybody that does not know the Lord of the harvest, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that washes away sin, that makes you ready to go out into the harvest. I would love to pray with you. And please, as we end off, I would like you to come and pray with me. I would like to pray with you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.